Hello, good. There's always a few moments while people come in. Hello, everybody. I one of our one of the our fellow lovelies was teasing me yesterday that I need to do merch and branded merchandise. So obviously that's going to be something that I think we'll be looking at. The world is a funny place. I've titled this Two Tier Kia, because I am absolutely outraged once again that there are no consequences for Labour. So there were no consequences when, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, David Lammy called Nigel Farage a fascist. There were no consequences now when Rachel from Accounts has obviously lied about the situation regarding her rental license. And I think it's very important that we stop being forgiving. I think I might actually end up falling out with Dan Hannan, because every time something the Labour do something wrong, he sort of nobly sacrifices himself and says, "We shouldn't punish them because the system is stupid." It's like, yes, but they're in charge of the system. And if the people are in charge of the system are breaking the system's rules, we need to hold them to account so that they might actually think about maybe fixing the damn system and making the country less of an oppressive, terrorizing regime that we all seem to live under. I'd also like to honor the fact that a man has died in Uxbridge. I don't need to go any further than that. I don't know the alleged suspect's name. I don't know how they're pleading. We can't possibly prejudice a trial. So let's just honour the fact that a man in Uxbridge has died. That's awful. He was just walking his dog. Our children are being raped. Our women are being raped. Our fellow citizens are being killed. And we don't know, one for the bloody wokists. I don't know the ethnicity of the man who has died in Uxbridge, and I don't care. I don't care what ethnicity he was, because he was one of us. And one of us was killed by a dangerous migrant with a knife. And that's what we need to focus on. It's got absolutely bugger all to do with racism. You know, it's just not relevant. What matters is that these are dangerous migrant men who are young, physically fit, and have knives. A good Samaritan tried to intervene, Si, it tells me, well, I'm proud of that. But it's also, I mean, putting themselves at risk. Who's just a man walking a dog? I've got two of them there sleeping over there. This is just ridiculous. We deserve to be safe in our country. It's the first duty of any government to keep us all safe. And it's a disgrace what has happened. I think most of us know that something's going to have to be done. Obviously, I get endless legal questions about this, but honestly, the answer is not law. And it's going to be a theme of tonight that I'm going to talk about. I spoke to a room yesterday, room full of people, and I quoted Bonnie Tyler, and because it was one of my favorite songs when I was little. But holding out for a hero, we have to stop holding out for a hero. Nobody is going to come and save us. We have to save ourselves. And I think that's a feature of this Substack. I think it's a feature of the lovelies. We are lovely, they are not. Exactly, Alan. And that's, you know, and everybody's welcome to be a lovely here. If you want to be a lovely, join the lovelies. And we don't care what race anybody is or what sex anybody is or anything else about anybody. You know, that's simply not relevant. We care whether people are lovely or monsters. And we live among monsters, and we are importing monsters, and this is simply dangerous. Malcolm and Hillary are saying hello to each other. Of course, Malcolm got the first ever bespoke video, and Hillary got the second. I do have a request from somebody I saw somewhere. I think it's Jill. So Jill will get the next one. Do feel free to send me a private message, DM, because that's the best way for me to keep a sort of record of everything. We all know statistically I'm going to miss somebody. So if you get missed, don't feel bad. Just know that that's me, and then shout again. I'm glad it was interesting, Malcolm. I'm going to morph it into a YouTube video, because I think more people need to know what trees and laws there are. So I'm grateful for everybody who gives me ideas for videos, and we can get them out there. I was saying to people last night, and I think I always say to you, that I really find YouTube very distancing. You are, as a YouTuber, I feel very distant from my subscribers. I don't feel distant in Substack. Obviously, we all know each other by name. We have to save ourselves. Yes, we do, Denise. And Denise, you are one of the best at pushing this forward. We must save ourselves. Everyone must stop holding out for a hero. Okay? That's what we're going to keep saying. Stop holding out for a hero. I'm not a hero. No one is a hero. We will save ourselves. The ordinary people of Britain. I had this in Spoons. I came up to by a lovely Scottish sounding lady and her friend, because her friend had seen, knew me from social media, but they were convinced that no barrister would be in Spoons. So the Scottish lady had volunteered to come up and talk to me. Obviously, I was in Spoons because I am a great believer in Spoons. I am pro Spoons and all its causes. And I just said to them, you know, they just, it's not about party politics anymore. It's about fixing this country and getting it back to what we want to be, which is a safe nation where all of our kids of every ethnicity gets to grow up in safety. I mean, that's the first thing is safety. And then let's fix the economy, because these people are absolutely tanking it. We're going to lose so many small businesses. It's untrue. The employment rights bill is absolutely atrocious. We all know that the only reason Rachel hasn't gone yet is because she needs to go after the budget. And that's basically her use in life. She's ablative armor for Starmer, so that when the reaction to the budget is so horrendously negative, he can get rid of her then. I mean, this is absolutely pathetic. It's the 31st of October. That gives Rachel Reeves 27 days to survive. Can she make it? Someone should get a lettuce. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We all know the government cannot govern. A man who Starmer arranged early release for, who had convictions for knife crime, has gone on to murder someone. This is just ridiculous. Wendy, it is safety in numbers, and it is writing to people as well. I said to the room yesterday, you know, send a postcard to the king. I mean, physically writing to people is much more impactful than clicking an online petition, which, by the way, they just control. You know, they just abuse their rights and powers, pushing the landlord licensing in her constituency. Exactly, Malcolm. Exactly. They called for these stupid bloody laws, and she should be held to account for these stupid bloody laws. And I saw one landlord on Twitter who was like, you can't believe how ridiculously hard it is to get all this stuff. And it's pointless bureaucracy, and the bureaucrats who created the pointless bureaucracy should be held to account. One of the most ridiculous thing is this idea that they're going to get away with a two-tier state. It's not going to happen. And by the way, I have a very good authority from somebody who knows him that calling Keir Starmer two-tier Keir really upsets him. So diddums. Oh, diddums, incompetent prime minister. Diddums. Call him that. Let's just call him two-tier Keir all the time. And I'm going to put it in almost everything I can. I encourage all of you on all of your social media to put two-tier Keir in. And I encourage you to write to the king in particular. But Denise has got another suggestion we'll get to later. The first actual question, and I've done my rant, is from William. If Reform win the next general election with a majority, how quickly can they make the legal changes to the ECHR and Human Rights Act and any other necessary legislative chambers to enable them to effectively tackle mass illegal migration? Will it be days, weeks, or months? Well, William, it depends on how much Reform prepare. So what I would advise Reform to do is to draft it all in advance and then push it through on day one. And you should be able to push legislation through if you have a large majority, if it's a manifesto commitment. And there are some other things and factors that go with that. So what I would advise Reform to do is to be ready. And that is the real, we call it the difference between Trump 1 and Trump 2. Trump 1 was a bit of a surprise. People generally thought Hillary would win. And the administration was a bit like, oh, we've got loads of power. What do we do? Whereas Trump 2 is like, we're going to win. And this is what we're going to do when we get in. So there really is a preparing level. And I think people need to encourage a Reform to start getting prepared. And I think we're at that stage. Now, that doesn't mean they have to declare what they're doing, but I think getting prepared strikes me as sensible. Darren says, Stephen, what force control mechanisms do we have available that is in our power to force the PM and Deputy PM to actually answer questions, not effectively evade and throw dirt? The only mechanism, the only control at PMQs parliamentary question time is the speaker. But I think we can put political pressure on the speaker. I am calling for people to stand against him at the next general election. That's not normally done by convention, but it's only a convention. Doesn't need to stay. You can definitely stand against him. I think he's an awful speaker, and I think we should stand against him. I would encourage Reform to stand against him. I would encourage the Conservative Party to stand against him. I would encourage anybody sensible to stand against him. Obviously, the loons won't. But Darren, we're going to get to political pressure that can be put on the speaker. Use social media, use the media. Just refuse to respect him. This is a mechanism. They keep demanding respect. They're very, if anybody watches South Park, they're very Cartman-like. Respect my authority. It's like, no, I'm not going to. You are a joke. And I hold you in contempt. I find it particularly moving and particularly amusing that the official portrait of the Speaker of the House of Commons has a kangaroo tail, which is formed out of his official robes, but it looks very distinctly like a kangaroo's tail, because that's the kangaroo court he presided over and allowed Parliament to do. One-way respect, exactly, Hillary. Respect demanded does not work in our system. You cannot demand respect from me. I respect Hillary and Denise. Because Hillary and Denise are decent. They're the only two I can see. Obviously, I respect loads of other lovelies. But, you know, can we write to the speaker? Si says, yes, yes, we can. We're going to get back to this. Darren did a Hillary and asked three questions. So he's only going to get two because he's Darren, not Hillary, because that's how we roll here. Two-tier Hillary. Stephen, a more important question. I think the third question was just one that I didn't think I could answer. I'm literally teasing Darren. It's not genuine. A more important question. The Select Committee evidence attended by Attorney General and that snivelling, horrible Sly Jones in law, what is the truth? Are they lying and misleading? And are there real investigations, prosecution, and imprisonment? I don't know. We don't know. All we know about the China spy trial of the alleged spies is that it was definitely collapsed by the government. The government caused it to collapse. The DPP wanted the government to give certain evidence. The government would not give that evidence. The DPP did not feel that he could get that evidence somewhere else, because the immediate defense question would be, well, your own witness isn't saying this, so why do you need a second witness to say this? And if they're not saying it, then aren't your witnesses conflicting, so you can't prove your case beyond reasonable doubt? Which seems to be a pretty perfectly reasonable position for the DPP to take, which is that the government has tanked the case. Who can prosecute? Who can do anything about it? I think we're waiting for the next government, but it would not surprise me at all to see prosecutions for this government at some point in the future. They have been a consistent part of human society. I see no obvious reason why this government should be immune to facing legal consequences for its actions. I think a charming idea that we don't have treason laws, or that we don't have legal powers to exert against politicians who behave in naughty or bad ways, is just delusional. I think this government is delusional. And so I do think that ultimately there's a very high likelihood of trials of politicians once this government has fallen. And the fact that Aragon says, I really hope so, and that people are hitting the heart button, is because a lot of us feel like they've just gone too far. This is just wrong. It's just simply not on. This is not cricket. This is not our country. You cannot pretend to be immune from consequences. What on earth are they doing with that China embassy? What on earth are they doing paying to give away our islands and betraying the Chagos Islanders? What on earth are they doing collapsing cases against alleged spies? What on earth are you doing? And they will have to answer. The hubris. Yes, well, I mean, it's hubris always goes before nemesis, doesn't it, Hillary? I mean, they just have no real grasp of humanity, no real grasp of human civilization, no real grasp that we are a serious country of grown-ups who are simply not going to let them off. It's simply not going to happen. A tiny self-selecting elite of effective, you know, modern version of aristocrats who have absolutely no merit, ability, or reason to be in charge, we're never going to last long. Okay? In good times, we'll ignore them. When things get bad, we're going to deal with them. And things are now bad. I seem late because I've been crossing swords with my Labour MP. Well done, Dave. I just tweeted that it was a clear act of abuse to ask Chris Bryant for his thoughts. you know, it's like asking me to run a marathon. It's just not fair. Tilly Dog's asking a question. Well, in the chat, we never do that because it's a tiny box, Tilly Dog. And there we are. Are you aware of the recent court case, the alleged... Of the alleged corrupt vote in Runcorn? No, I know there's a brought by Graham Moore. He won to take it to the next level hearing. You lose to take it to the next level, but I don't know what's going on. I'm vaguely aware of the case. When there's a judgment, I'll read it. I don't like that gentleman in particular. So if you're a fan of that gentleman, log off. They don't like stuff. This government is a dictatorship. This is not democracy. Well, exactly, Wayne, but it just doesn't, it's just not sustainable. Cosplaying a dictatorship inside a democracy is a really stupid idea. So not only are they irritating, they're also really stupid. Just phenomenally stupid. There is no sustainable bureaucratic dictatorship in the history of the world. It's never sustained. Not after the French Revolution, not after the Russian Revolution. At no point has a bureaucratic dictatorship ever held. It just doesn't happen. Thanks, Tiliog. Yeah, I don't mean any menace to you. I know he's going around the internet saying just weird things. I just find him deeply unhelpful. I had a bit of a run-in with a hardliner on YouTube who obviously believes him very much, which is, I mean, I just think that's quite sad for that person. And that I don't want to be anywhere near that gentleman, and I don't value that gentleman in any way. And I will just carry on telling you the Constitution as it is. I said on YouTube, and I hold to it, that the reason you don't have to trust me on the Constitution, but I think the reason that you might consider it is that I will always tell you the Constitution, even if it's inconvenient for my own politics. So I will never just tell you the Constitution as it is in order to get outcomes that I like. I will tell you the Constitution as it is to get outcomes I don't like. And the most obvious example of that in recent times was I couldn't stop the kangaroo court of Boris Johnson. Because the Constitution is what the Constitution is. The Bill of Rights is what the Bill of Rights is. Parliament was entirely entitled to have a kangaroo fake court and a totally unjust process, which it had. But I couldn't stop it. And I just like say, you know, these things always get very dramatic. You know, people don't know who to trust and all the rest of it. Well, I don't want the power to make you trust me. And I don't have the power to make you trust me. But that's why I would suggest. It might be useful. Will knighthood be taken away from Sadiq Khan? Not in the under this government, okay? But I do think all sorts of things that the current government think are impossible are actually now likely to happen. And I think the king's really messed up by taking away Andrew's titles, because I think that just opens the door. They have absolutely no idea how much they've opened the door and how gleefully the British public will say, well, you took his titles away, so yours are going, yours are going, yours are going, yours are going. Keir Starmer's pension exists because of a statute that can be repealed. Okay? I really just don't think they have any understanding that they live in a country where they will face consequences. Kay lives in London. Oh, bless you. I'm so sorry for you. I'm glad I don't. I have to go in from time to time and it's an absolute nightmare. They have no idea, Hillary. But it will come. Hubris comes before nemesis. This is human. I don't know if lovelies know, but I'm very friendly with Bill Cash because I think he's lovely and he's got a really lovely wife whose nickname is Biddy, who's just like the sweetest, nicest person you've ever met. I mean, I don't care what your politics is. If you don't like Biddy, something's wrong with you. Bill and I always just say, humans never change. Humans never change. Because humans never change. It would take ages for humans to change. We have not evolved. It's just, it doesn't have this, you know, we don't have the time. We haven't had the time. We've only had civilization really for about, I mean, I think there's an argument for 12, but probably 10,000 years. That's it. That's a blink in the cosmic eye. You know, that this planet goes round the center of the galaxy every 200 million years. 10,000 years is nothing. What is that? It's nothing. So Bill Cash knows so much. He does. He's very, very clever. I've always wondered with Bill Cash if he never got the respect he deserved because he was a solicitor. And back when, that sounds ridiculous now, because in my profession, we respect solicitors, obviously. And it would be ridiculous to question that now. But back when Bill was young, there was still a massive class divide between solicitor and barrister. And I sort of privately wonder if Bill Cash had been a barrister, then people might have made more of a fuss about how clever and how able a lawyer he is. Which, if I'm right, is very sad for Bill. But he water off a duck's back to him. He's got through and he's still going. I see him at things. He's still pushing forward, still trying to do his best. Still, I mean, one of the greatest things about him is that he can talk so knowledgeably about Margaret Thatcher. I mean, I just say, I find that absolutely remarkable. Like, my granny would not believe that I'm friends with somebody who knew Margaret Thatcher. Well, it might be that, sigh, but will the chair yourself go ahead, asks Armitage Shanks. It's the government's policy, so they're going to try and rail it through. The latest legal challenge is far better than the last legal challenge, which I really just thought was doomed from the start and a total waste of money, and did fail. But this legal challenge on the basis of self-determination by the Chagos Islanders is better. Biscuit, you have to go on the mat. Biscuit has decided to be naughty. This is going to be not entertaining in any way. Biscuit, you have to go on the mat. Good boy. Matt. Good boy. So this challenge has got a better chance. I still think the judiciary are a little spineless, so we'll see what they do. I'm interested in seeing the outcome of the Chagos Islanders case. One of the greatest wrongs of it, other than betraying our national security, betraying the country, burning our money that we don't have, is just abandoning the Chagos Islanders themselves. So these people, the Mauritians, are not nice. They do not treat the Chagos Islanders well. They treat them badly. They are abusive, wrong-end. We actually have people from the Chagos Islands already sleeping on the streets in Surrey and in Hillingdon because they'd rather be homeless sleeping on the streets here than move to Mauritius or be under Mauritius control. I find that absolutely staggering, but that is a fact. So, you know, these poor Chagos Islanders have been utterly betrayed. I have a biscuit too. Yes, I've got a biscuit. Biscuit is my golden lab. This is nice. It's much more interactive. I can sort of see the box a bit better. Still, Robert has been reserved. Yeah, they've reserved judgment, Sire, but they should just get on with it. They shouldn't do the trade. The other thing is that I have a plan for reversing the Chagos Islanders, which I'm not going to say it because I have a terrible tradition of saying my plans and then the bad people write laws to make my plans harder. So we're not going to tip them off. Right, but other people wrote questions in advance and they should get them too. Ed says, is there a possible legal challenge to the overreach of hate speech? No. And Ed, this again is holding out for a hero. We've got to stop doing this. Use politics to complain about hate speech. Write to your MP and complain about hate speech. Write to your councillors and complain about it, even though they can't do anything about it. Just write to them. Write, annoy your police and crime commissioner. Write to the king. Write to people. And make your voices heard. You are a grown up and a citizen of this democracy. You need to, we all need to do it. I'm talking to myself as much as everybody else. We need to take back power because if we do not take power, we are letting weak men rule us. And I refuse to be ruled by weak men. I'd much rather put Hillary in charge. If we're going to have a dictator, let's just have Hillary. That's what we should do. No, that's Hillary. Calm down. Stop planning the parades. We should restore democracy. You know, that's what we should be doing. Going back to being the lovely country, the Shire of Tolkien, you know, that we know we are and that we can be again. And that we'll only get there by making it so. You know, nobody is going to come in and help us. Stop holding out for a hero. Oh, no, people are supporting Hillary. There's going to be a military coup now. Tea cake and go for Hillary. No, this is terrible. I've created a monster. Stephen, would you do a sit-down chat with Winston Marshall? I would. He hasn't asked me, but we are mutuals on Twitter, so he may well. And if he asks me, I'll say yes. That's usually how it works. Now, there are some podcasts that are a bit too small, so I politely decline. Something like Winston Marshall would be obviously good if he thinks I'm of any interest. He might think I'm boring for his audience. I never take that rudely. You know, I don't beg Meyer. I've never asked to go on Meyer. It's when Meyer thinks I might be of interest to his audience, Meyer will ask me to go on. And I think that's the fair relationship in all of these things. What amazes me is the support I've had from Dan, the black belt barrister, who has been hugely brilliant in supporting my YouTube channel, which I do need to do more Workforce, so I will do. If no member of parliament is willing to raise the point of order on the rape gangs, how do we keep the pressure on them? Keep writing to them. Work out who your MP is and then be outraged at them. Meet them at events. You know, they're going to go to things and ask them politely. Say to them, this is really not on. You know, actually do something. I hate black belt barrister. Oh, sigh. Well, you can just like me then. And I'll say that you like me and not him. And that will be fun. I'll fight everyone with 2 8-pound bands at my breast. A bit of Blackadder. Yes, freedom and cake. That's all we want. Freedom and cake. How is that? How is that rude? What is unreasonable about wanting not to be murdered, not to have our children and women raped, and to have freedom and cake? It's not hard, is it? I don't need a digital ID. You can stick that up where the sun don't shine. I think somebody's helping you find your MP, which is a good idea. Oh, you like Black Belt Barrister. I misread. I did. That was my desire to make sure that you liked me and didn't like him. It overcame me, my ego. I'm getting a terribly big head from all of this, you know. I'll need even more hair to cover it. But Terry said, can the people sue the government for breach of contract, any law pertaining to our safety? I'm just thinking of the poor kid sexually assaulted and her attacker given £500 to go home to Ethiopia. Something's got to give. Something will give politically, Terry. We must fight back politically. Don't hold out for a hero. Julie, hi, Stephen. Under Le Traité Tocqueau 2003, the reciprocal border agreement with France, which I had to look up, Julie, just so you know, still valid after Brexit. There's a statement that says France cannot refuse migrant returns. Sorry, I just had to do an outrageous accent. Although originally applicable to ports, airports, the millions of pounds paid by France was to extend the control of beaches. Isn't this maritime law states that France is obliged to prevent illegal goods, i.e. drugs, arms, and people from leaving the country? There are also things like non-innocent passage, unsafe passage, etc. Why is this not happening? Have I misunderstood something? I think there are existing legal frameworks that apply to France. I don't think Le Traité Tocqueau, if that's even how you say it, no, I don't care. I'm actually going to start. Let's just be English. Le Traité Tocqueau. I don't have to pronounce words the way you pronounce them. That's control. I don't think that one applies because that was very port specific. That's what fixed people largely fixed the people get coming illegally by lorry. What we now have is these illegal dinghy invasions. But I agree that there are parts of maritime law that I think apply. I think for a start, I have advised the previous government that the boat migrants count qualify as an emergency under our emergency powers legislation. Now. So there are ways that we can change the law, and I could do all that to stop the boat migrants and turn them around, and I would just dump them back in France. Personally, I would just push them back. And if any of them die, I think we need to have a very robust approach to that. That is because they got in the sea illegally, wanting to commit a crime of breaking into our country, and we needed to defend our border. Poland is ruthless in defending its border, and I'm afraid you have to be. You just have to think of it like this. If somebody's trying to break into my house and they're a danger to my child, what am I going to do? Am I going to open the door because they might hurt themselves banging on it? Don't think so. So we do need to take much more robust measures. Julie, I agree that the money given to France has just been up the wall. And France is behaving appallingly. Of course they are. I mean, in many ways, that's just what I expected them. I was saying to somebody that I hate this American idea of I think, first of all, like, racism is ridiculous. Secondly, the idea that there is a white race is patently absurd. And the most annoying and irritating thing about it is that it lumps me in a group with Frenchmen. Why would I accept that? I'm not accepting that. I'm not standing with them. I don't want to be lumped with them. And I reserve my right to be categorically rude about the French at any time. And I reserve my right that our default policy should always be considering whether or not we should have war with France. I just think that should be national policy at all times. France are always useless. Well, they're not. They've been quite clever, to be fair. They've nicked all our money and done nothing. Patrick Christie's has done more to defend the border than the French. I got to meet Patrick's new baby, his beautiful baby boy. Patrick was talking to a fan and Emily was just standing with the baby. So I got to meet the baby. He's absolutely gorgeous. Everybody on the Lovely should know I love babies. That's what we need. Hillary, more policies for the dictatorship. Freedom cake babies. No stabbing, no raping, and freedom cake and baby. It's not hard to get British money. It's not, is it, Hillary? It's just, this is why we have none, because they're just burning our cash. Hello, Stephen. Is it true that Article 16 of the HRA allows to exclude illegal migrants and visa overstayers from the Act's protections? That all the money spent on the invaders and blood spilled by the knife crime groups could all have been prevented all the way? So Article 16 is doing the rounds in sort of social media circles with a lot of people I consider not respectable, trying to overclaim what Article 16 can do. Article 16 allows you to disapply three rights to aliens, which, of course, the Human Rights Act supporters will hate the term aliens, but that is the term that it uses in Article 16. And, of course, aliens just means illegal migrants. And you can disapply their right to freedom of assembly. You can disapply their right to freedom of expression. And you can disapply their right to avoid discrimination. So you are allowed to discriminate against aliens. Does that mean that we could have interpreted that to allow to use human rights to stop the boat migrants? The only answer really I can think of, Kay, is in a sane world, yes. But there is no way the European Court of Human Rights would say that's what it meant. So part of the problem and part of what makes me physically ill as a lawyer is that they're not interpreting things in a consistent, they're not even trying to interpret things in a consistent way as law. They are only interested in implementing their politics, and their politics would never allow them to prevent boat migrants. So the ECHR would never find that Article 16 allowed you to do that. I would take a much more permissive interpretation of Article 16. But again, when we fix the country, get rid of Article 16 and get rid of all the other articles, get rid of judges having a role at all. And then it doesn't matter whether your judge is conservative or bold or whatever the politics of your judge is, because your judge isn't there. Have your ministers making decisions. And they are then forced by the press and the public to make decisions the country like, or ultimately their government's going to fall. We need to go back to being a political constitution and stop trusting judges. I have a thing on Twitter, which I'm going to bring to Substack eventually, where I'm doing a biog of each of the ECHR judges I find particularly fruity. There's 46 of them. And I think I'm in the eyes. I started alphabetically because they were going to call me racist. So I was just like, if I just start alphabetically, that's what I'll do. Sadly, many of them are just so boring that all you can say about them is that they're a foreign legal academic. They don't know anything about our legal system. And I've sort of made that point about three or four of them already. So I can't just keep making that point. This is just a foreign legal academic who doesn't know anything about practical law, doesn't know anything about our legal system. But anyway, I am exposing or seeking to draw attention to the ECHR judges because I am fed up of the argument that we need this office block in Strasbourg to run our country. We don't. Everybody's saying hi to Alan. Alan's the new star. Uses an excellent post, Stephen, of the 46 judges that preside over us. Thank you, Hillary. Yeah, that one. I was absolutely going into the detail of the judges because of how much they irritated me. They just kept tweeting. I asked, why do the ECHR run our country? And they just kept tweeting, they don't, which is not an argument. It's wrong. And it's a false claim that I'm wrong. And I'm afraid that just is like, well, fine. First of all, hide, reply, block, because they're all narcissists and they can go burn. But secondly, I'll do an exposure of the judges then. Ha! Huh. Come on then, beat that. Well, exactly, Si. Exactly. How is it right that a foreign jurist can adjudicate when they haven't passed our bar exam? How? How is it right when they don't know anything about our legal system or our country that they can say what a right to an ordinary family life is? What? And this is why they are nothing, nothing but paper bureaucratic dictators. Denise says, good evening, Stephen and the Lovelies. My MP either sends me template platitudes or is not even bothering to answer me. She's probably had enough of both seeing and listening to me, even though I'm always polite. Would it be useful and productive to write to the Speaker or the Leader of the House? Yes, absolutely. This is Denise's new brilliant idea. We write to the king, we write to our MP, and we write to our the Speaker of the House of Commons. We should pressure them all. And they all need to know who we are, and they all need to answer to us. The Lord Speaker, too, we could probably write to about specific things. And Denise, you are an absolute hero. I explained this to the room yesterday, and I think it's really important that everybody gets it. I've been behind the curtain with MPs, and I've been a councillor. They are listening. They're just stonewalling you in the hope that you give up. Tonight is Halloween. So if I get a knock on the door, I'm going to pretend I'm not in. Yeah, that's what we all do. Isn't it? On Halloween. I mean, for most, when you've got young children, you give out sweets. That's true. But a lot of people will just pretend that they're not in, turn the TV down, make sure the lights are not on, pretend that we're not in. That's what an MP is doing when they ignore you. You feel like they're powerful and ignoring you, and they're not. They're hiding behind the sofa in the desperate hope that you go away. Don't go away. Okay? That is so important. I'm busy not being in now. Yes, exactly. It's done a good letter in the chat. We can use that as a precedent. You can use that as a precedent. I'm very wary of precedents. I think it's much more powerful to simply handwrite a short letter or postcard. You can make your points really easily. You don't need a lot of text. And when I was a councillor, I ignored automated emails from campaign groups. I know many MPs ignore automated emails from campaign groups. So just be careful with using a precedent. But then again, if you need it to be comfortable sending your first letter, riff with the second one. And, once you feel, it's like anything. I'm exactly the same. The first time I do anything, I'm absolutely terrified. So, for years, I've done this totally bizarre thing, which is when I give legal advice, I cannot start with a blank document. I have to start with the last piece of legal advice I gave. These are called opinions of counsel. And there is absolutely no reason to do that, but I just can't start with a blank page. And then delete all of the records, because I couldn't possibly send that legal advice to the new clients, and it's not relevant to them. But, effectively, the tram lines don't change. I'm like everybody else. I'm not berating people. If you feel the need for a template, do use it. Just be wary. Mokosh says, 100%, a lot of British politics and even lawmaking relies on unspoken conventions observed by people who have shared values and principles. This has worked for centuries. Sadly, the current lot have neither. That's very true, Mokosh, and also Christianity and Anglican Christianity. And that is collapsing. And what's very interesting to see is that it's not collapsing because of migration. I think it's collapsing far quicker. I think it would collapse if migration got to a certain level. But I think it's collapsing because so many of the elite have simply become atheist Fabians. And as a result, they don't start from a Christian or Anglican moral basis. They don't believe in these niceties and conventions. They only believe in lying to gain power. And then killing us all, which is basically all the Fabians ever do. Or it's all they ever dream about. They're just weak men having a delusional... Anyway, I've probably said enough about Fabians. What's this? What is the DM? Don't WhatsApp me mid-video. Honestly, how am I supposed to pay attention to this? Ian, just an observation, I think. If we expect digital ID will expand and expand to encompass our lives, one of the use cases would be prove our entitlement to vote. Surely the obvious next step is to do away with postal voting and just vote in some secure way on the app. If they go down that route, then what is the point of representative democracy? Ian has hit upon the only possible benefit of digital ID is that we can do away with representative democracy and just turn everything into a referendum, which is something I would much prefer. And our elite hate referendums for obvious reason. But I have always been a massive fan and I would like more of them. I point out that Switzerland is a better run country than here. And Switzerland has far more referendums than here. I think we should have more referendums. I still oppose digital ID, and I'm not, even if it got me referendums, I would still oppose the practice because it will just be used to control us. We will have carbon rations. We will have alcohol controls. We will have sugar controls, I suspect, for our own good, of course. Sai says, hello, Stephen and the lovelies. The king has removed the titles, forms and honours of his brother, Andrew, using letters patent as opposed to parliamentary act. Does this set a dangerous precedent of punishment without the conviction before a court? Yes, I think it does. And I tweeted about this. I don't like what's happening with Prince Andrew. He faced allegations. He denied them. He's never been convicted. They've never been proved in a court of law. I don't like it. Has the king taken this decision in order to avoid a parliamentary debate? Probably. The other thing I would say is that there's no way the king has been taking this decision without consulting Keir Starmer. So Keir Starmer will be up to his neck in this, just as much as the king is. And I don't think either of them are going to come out of this well. And I think it sets precedents that we can use to our benefit. Right. Is anybody asking? Denise is praising Switzerland, which I personally love. Switzerland is an umbrella state. I know, they're trying to nab it, the poor Swiss. They are sort of surrounded there. ECHR ruling concerning climate change. Oh, that was just ECHR going bonkers. Somebody asked if it's proved. Yes, we have to prove that they're colluding first. But I think there should be investigations, and I think we should look into things. And what we can't do is we must also give these people the benefit of innocence until proven guilty. Okay, so we can't just immediately decry people as guilty of things. But we can talk about stripping people of their knighthoods, Christine. And I think I agree with you that both Keir and Khan should definitely lose theirs. There's quite a few. Peter Mandelson, I think, should not be in the House of Lords. That is a disgrace. Right, we've saved the best to last, as we always do. So we've got Hillary. Salve, dearest Stephen and fellow lovelies. Thank you for the Estoppel podcast. Not at all. Entirely welcome, Hillary. Question. I would just like to better understand what legal process the king has used to strip Andrew of his titles. Right. So, okay, this is the second time this has come up. There is effectively a dance of power between the monarchy and parliament. And everybody should know I'm a fierce parliamentarian in that I think that the monarch only ever wields the illusion of powers. I think there are two that stay with the monarch, which are genuine powers, which is the ability to refuse to give royal assent to legislation, which would then be resolved through the political theatre, not the legal theatre. And the king has the power to dissolve parliament. So if parliament was about to pass a bill saying there will never be a general election again, the king could obviously dissolve parliament to stop that happening, because that would be total abuse of parliamentary power, and it's the king's job to stop that. With titles, I would have used, and I was going to do a video suggesting that actually they should use Parliament to do it, because I think it's much more forceful. It's much more strong of Parliament to reassert itself and remind the monarchy and remind the royal family that Parliament is in charge, and thus we are in charge, not them. But clearly our weak Prime Minister has agreed to make the king look slightly tougher by allowing him to do it by letters patent. I would just view that entire process as permitted by Parliament, not stronger than Parliament, because we fought a war to prove that Parliament is the most powerful, and Parliament is the most powerful. So I agree that King needs to dissolve Parliament, but we're only going to get to that if we keep pushing back. Okay. Great podcast the other day. Every lovely should watch it. Thanks, Dave. That's really lovely. Question 1A from Hillary. Do you think this may be incoming for Harry and the Markle woman? Well, I doubt the king would strip his own son of the princely title. And the Markle woman doesn't have it. She's only a duchess. I consider this family control. So where even I have some sympathy with letting the Windsors deal with themselves. Generally, I think the Andrew thing is a mistake. And if it was to be done, it shouldn't be done by Parliament. But I would have preferred innocence until proven guilty to be maintained, which has not happened. But the Harry and the Markle woman, I just think will defeat themselves. I just think that they're a self-induced crisis constantly waiting to happen. So I pay almost no attention to Harry and the Markle woman. And they're not relevant in any way. We have a line of succession. And if their line of succession was ever imperiled to the point where Harry was in danger of succeeding to the throne, then I would use Parliament to remove the House of Windsor. And that's what I would call for. And that's what Parliament would, I hope, do, and certainly could do. We have removed royal houses before. We have replaced them with much more useful heads of state. These are figurative people. They are not powerful. And I think actually Parliament, if Parliament had been more muscular with Charles I to begin with, then I think civil war wouldn't have happened. But it was the weak handling of Charles I, the pandering to him, the allowing his delusions and narcissism to get out of hand, which you can say is part of that then deferential age. It's certainly not part of now, and not when we have people like me and others who simply would not allow. Pamela, the children of Harry effectively are removed from the lines of succession. They are effectively expunged. You know, there is no statistical danger, realistically, of Harry inheriting. And it's only in the instance that he was that I bothered to take action. We have this lovely phrase in my area of law, which is that these problems are fixed by the effluxion of time, which just means that as time passes, the problem just goes away. So the danger of Harry is effectively over now. What is it with King's Call, Charles? I know, Si. I know. Right. Unless anybody has a burning question, I think I'm going to leave you all to have a lovely weekend. Ah, that's very sad, Darren. Always sad. But a young king would actually suit us better constitutionally right now, because a young king was much more inclined to be tough to a parliament that is obviously corrupt, obviously odious, and obviously hated. So a young king who supported us did things like performatively refuse to give royal assent to the Murdering Babies Bill, performatively refuse to give assent to the Mass State Killing Bill. Whether you give in after a week or two of pressure is a different question, and that's very much for his office. But I think you at least performatively refuse to do it, because you say, no, this is monstrous. Parliament has lost its way. Parliament has lost its moral compass. Parliament is evil. Because then when the Parliament is gone, and 5 years later, when you have the obvious scandals that we're all obviously going to have, the king, that young king can go, see, I told you. And he'll be on the side of good. And a young king who's looking at a 40-year reign, much more inclined to do that than an old king who is desperate to sort of achieve something vaguely good before his time runs out. But everybody's sending lots of lovely things. Bye-bye to the lovelies. Everybody write. Everybody be more Denise. Be more Denise. That's what we need you all to do. Let me know via DM any private videos you want doing. And just stay lovely. Fight for cake and freedom. And fight by writing letters.